Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, acquire the app called iCatcher, then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to Hebrews chapter 4 today, we do ask for your special blessing upon us. We see over and over it mentions about rest, and we pray that you would help us to understand it in a proper way. Help us to see that in many ways you have given rest in this life, but help us to see how all of that rest is pointing to the eternal rest that you offer us freely in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us not only to understand, but help us to receive that blessing now and to continue to hang on to that blessing until finally we are with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, God loves us and he wants us to be with him forevermore, so he keeps calling us through his word to know the truth, be sorry for our sins, and believe in Jesus as our only Savior. In the Old Testament, we have many types, or we could call them pictures, of God's eternal blessings. Let me give you some examples. The slavery in Egypt pictured sin. The Passover lambs, in connection with the 10th plague before they left Egypt, that was picturing our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the promised land, that was a picture of heaven. Thinking back to that time and thinking about the promised land, those who tried to enter it without believing in God, they did not enter. Faith was necessary. While those who trusted in God for their entrance, they did enter. God wants us to learn a valuable lesson, not only from that incident in the Old Testament, but from many, many others. So what about us? What will we do? Will we follow in the footsteps of the unbelievers who came before us, not only in the Old Testament, but throughout history up to this time? Or will we cling to Jesus Christ alone as our Savior and be dead serious about our relationship with him today and every day until we are finally with him forevermore? That is the question for today. So we find ourselves here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest, thus one day going to heaven, still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. So imagine walking on the edge of a very steep cliff. I believe that when we fear falling, we will be very careful in our walking. When we fear going to hell, which we deserve because of our sins, then we're going to be very careful in our believing. If we're not concerned about the height or the fall, we might be careless, we might slip over the edge. If we're not concerned about eternal punishment, we might not be serious about Jesus, and we might end up in eternal punishment. God doesn't want such things for us. Verse 2, for good news came to us just as to them, in other words, those who failed to enter God's rest. But the message they heard did not benefit them because the eternal blessings of God were not united by faith with those who listened. So think about it like this. On one side, we have all people and they are in need. On the other side, we have God's eternal blessings, which all people do need, but only God's gift of faith can unite the two together. Even though the blessings are there, even though they all need it, with faith, they are united. They have the blessings. Without faith, they do not have the blessings. God wants us to know faith is necessary. Picking up in verse 3 and following, the Bible says, "For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they who do not believe shall not enter my rest.' Although his works of creating the heavens and the earth were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again, in this passage, he said, 'They who do not believe shall not enter my rest.'" So think of God's rest at least in five ways here I want to share with you. And let's understand that in order to get to any of these five, faith is necessary. Number one, God's rest in the promised Messiah. Here were Adam and Eve. God said, "Don't eat from that tree." They did eat from that tree. So what did God do? God came. God promised that he would send his son to be their savior. So what did God enable Adam and Eve to do? To trust in the coming savior, to rest in the coming savior. Not to work for heaven, but to rest in the one who would come and make the way to heaven for them. Number two, God's rest on each Sabbath day. God was very serious about the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. Why? Because every Sabbath day was a shadow that was pointing to Jesus Christ. Think about being in a situation where a shadow is cast, and any time a shadow is cast, you know that someone or something is casting that shadow. When it came to the Sabbath days in the Old Testament, they were all casting a shadow, and the shadow was of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, the focus was on the Sabbath day pointing to Christ. Now that Jesus Christ has stepped into the doorway, we no longer focus on the shadow. Now we focus on Jesus Christ himself. So those who were believing God's promise to send the Messiah, they were faithful in remembering the Sabbath day. And if they were part of God's chosen remnant, they weren't just going through the motions on the Sabbath day, but they understood that the Sabbath day was pointing to the Christ who would ultimately take away their sins. Third, God's rest in the promised land. So they were in the wilderness that was representative of sin, and God was giving them the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of rest. So we saw last week, those who were not believing, they died in the wilderness. But for Joshua and Caleb and the next generation, God brought them into the promised land. God wants us to know that was a picture of heaven, but not yet heaven. Number four, we think about God's temporary rest in heaven for souls and spirits of believers when they die. So here we are in this life. We're going through life, working day by day by day, and life can be hard and life can be difficult. And finally, God gives rest for our soul and spirit in heaven, in paradise with him. But that is a temporary rest. We are there only until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And the Bible says that when he comes, he will bring with him those souls and spirits who have died trusting in him and have gone to be with him. So when he brings them back, what is he going to do? Well, that's number five. Then we come to God's eternal rest in heaven, because when he comes back, then those bodies and souls will be united to their resurrected bodies, and then body, soul, and spirit, we will enter that eternal rest with God forever and ever. So there are many things in life that can remind us of God's blessing of eternal rest, even as washing our hands or taking a bath or taking a shower can remind us of the blessing of baptism, where God was at work to unite us to Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Okay, verse 6. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, that is God's rest, for not everyone is currently believing in Jesus for eternal life, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, which came from the root of unbelief, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward. In other words, saying to David about 400 years after the time of the 40 years in the wilderness. In the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In other words, do not reject what God is saying, how God is calling you to be, how God is calling you to act as he speaks to us by his Spirit through his word. So God's wonderful offer of eternal rest has been available since the very first sin was committed, even though so many have failed to receive God's rest due to their unbelief. Here's the good news. God's rest is still available, and still it is freely being offered. Someday that offer will end forever and ever, but now it is still going forth. For those who have it, they should rejoice in that. For anyone who doesn't have it, they should know all hope is not lost. That offer is going out to everyone who is without it. Therefore, it is vital that those who hear of God's offer do not harden their hearts. That becomes the key. There's no problem on God's end. God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love. So there's no problem with God doing his part in the offering. But the problem is with the people in the receiving, because many are hardening their hearts. That becomes the problem. What might that look like? Let me give you here an example of a physical hardening and then an example of a spiritual hardening. So first of all, think about receiving a cancer diagnosis. The doctor says you have cancer and need chemotherapy. If you believe him, you will receive the medicine. If you don't believe him, and don't take the action that he is prescribing, and he is right, you will die of cancer. What about a spiritual example? How about a sin diagnosis? So the pastor says, you have unrepentant sin, and you are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. If you believe him, by God's grace and power, you will repent. In other words, you will be sorry for your sins and you will believe in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. But if you don't believe what the pastor says and you don't take the action that he is calling for, and if he is right in his diagnosis, you will be eternally separated from God. I think we live in a world today where people tend to believe the physical doctors a lot more than they believe the spiritual doctors. You know, I've gotten these stories over the years where people will tell me, Pastor, if you change those worship times, I can't come. But then I'll hear another story where I've got this surgery and it's taking place at 7 o'clock in the morning and they're saying, I have to be there at 5:30. And they're fully planning to be there at 5:30, but they can't make a 9 o'clock worship service. How can that be? So they're more serious about the physical things than they are about the spiritual things. It can happen to all of us, I suppose. But God wants us to know that physical, that's all temporary. It's only for maybe 100 years and probably less. But God wants us to know that spiritual is forever and ever. So he wants us to figure out how to order our lives so we are much more serious about the spiritual and maybe not quite so serious about the physical. Let's go on to verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So the rest given through Joshua was a preliminary rest, which pointed to the final rest. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest, an eternal rest, for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Talking about the rest here, it's not talking about us so much resting now, but it's talking about us resting later and forever. So Jesus said to his disciples, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." So what could we say about that a little bit more? Now we have the light of life. So we, who are believers, serve or work for our Savior as we continue to live. We do that never to earn heaven, but we do that out of thanksgiving for the gift of heaven that we already have been promised in our Lord Jesus Christ. But God wants us to know, though, that the night of death is coming when our service or work for our Lord Jesus Christ here in this life will come to an end. Then, by grace through faith, we will be with the Lord forever. Then we will finally be at rest. But this life isn't so much for rest. This life is our opportunity to serve him who served us in the greatest possible way and to look forward to resting forever in his presence. Okay, verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience, thus saying no to God's word in their lives. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Notice what the word does. As we are reading the word in a thoughtful manner, boy, it is at work upon us in a really important way. That's why the Bible says over and over again about the importance of meditating on God's word day and night, because that work that the word is doing in us is very, very important work. Sometimes we think we can hide things from God. We think we can say, oh, yeah, I've got certain things I say, certain things I do. You guys know about it. God knows about it. But I've got my own stuff, though, going on in my heart, in my mind. You guys don't know. God doesn't know. I've got my own little world inside of here, and no one knows about it, and I can live a double life, and God will never find out. Do we think that way sometimes? Notice what it goes on to say. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The Bible is God's word, and the Spirit works through that word like a highly skilled surgeon to identify our sin and remove it. Should we avoid that type of thing? Should we say, dear God, I really like this particular sin. I don't want to give up that sin, so I'm going to stay out of your word because I don't want your Spirit to be working through that word and remove that sin. I like that sin. Or rather, should we pray, dear God, I know that small sin could become a bigger sin, and I know that sin could hinder or even destroy my relationship with you, and I know what Jesus went through to take away that sin, and I want you to work in my life. I'm welcoming you to work in my life day by day because I know it is so important for my life now, and I know it is so important for my life forever. God wants us to take the attitude and say, don't let me change your word so it fits my life, but rather we should pray, dear God, use your word to make my life what you desire for it to be. That should always be the attitude that we have when we go to God's holy word. Think about the third commandment and Luther's explanation. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What did Luther say about that? What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Boy, so much is packed in there. But God wants us to know the importance of gathering week by week. And then if we have an opportunity to read the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and we say, nope, not going to do that. I want to spend time with family. Not going to do that. I need to mow the grass. Not going to do that. I need to take a nap. Well, according to the way Luther looked at that, that would be despising God's word. God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to know, well, like Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We desperately need this word. So he doesn't want us to ever say no to it. He always wants us to say yes to it. And then finally, section 7, we pick up with verse 14. It says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes it is not easy to be a believer, but let's remember that we are not on our own in this Christian life. We have Jesus who was tempted but did not fall. We have Jesus who bore our punishment that we deserve. We have Jesus who laid down his life for our sins. We have Jesus who was raised from the dead on the third day. And we have Jesus who is now, even at the right hand of God, and interceding for us. So, how should we respond to all that? Let us draw near to him and let us receive his help now and by faith his blessings forevermore. Do you want to go to heaven? So I'm assuming it's all a yes. So here's my advice, not only for you, but also for me. Because we do want to go to heaven, let us give God the opportunity every day to have his way with us by his Spirit working through his word. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.